social slime. They don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. Censorship, force of air. Fuck them back, it's only for they bomb. They shoot, they kill, they massacre, rape. They burn the kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face, fight and die. Cause God forgive. And buying time, killing people next in line. Lower classes, social side, they don't matter, genocide. Sick from water, sick from air. Making money, they don't care. See their shit, force a bear. Fuck them back, that's only fair. They bomb, they shoot, they kill. They massacre, rape, they burn. The kids, no one thinks gun. Trees, lie to your face. Fight and die, cause God forgives. Yeah.
Welcome to the show. I'm your host, Ron Stevens. This is Rock the Boat right here on UCY.TV, my favorite little internet online news network. Today is the 24th of October. And tonight I'm going to talk a little bit about some Canadian politics, I think. You know, I keep trying to encourage people to, when they read something, to grab names in that and go and investigate it. Because you're not going to ever, ever, ever get a full or truthful story from the media. Ain't going to happen. So, we're sending the ex-premier of Ontario from the 90s, Mr. Bob Rae, to, as a special envoy to Myanmar, because of the brutal oppression that the Muslims apparently are living under there. So Prime Minister Justin Trudeau is appointing Bob Rae as Canada's special envoy to Myanmar for 2 months into a growing crisis that has left, are you ready for this number, 600,000 Rohingya Muslim people displaced. The move comes in response to growing public pressure to act in the face of what Canada and the United Nations has labeled ethnic cleansing of a long-persecuted minority in Myanmar. As of Sunday, it's estimated 603,000 Rohingya, mostly from the troubled Rakhine state, have fled to shelter in neighboring Bangladesh. The former Ontario Premier is expected to seek permission to visit Rakhine state, where Rohingya have long lived under what Trudeau called brutal oppression. Rae will advise the Prime Minister directly on the matter, according to a source familiar with the new role. Bob Rae can play a shaper, more political role within Myanmar without jeopardizing diplomatic relationships on the ground with a government that is prickly about foreign interference in its affairs. It's too bad we weren't picky about interference in our affairs, but apparently we're not. We seem to be run by foreign influences in the West, and that needs to stop. But anyways, so Myanmar authorities have made it difficult for foreign officials and journalists to visit Rakhine State, recently barring a UN fact-finding mission and only allowing diplomats, including Canada's, a look on a controversial military-organized visit under their watchful eye earlier this month. Ray is also expected to promote accountability for alleged crimes perpetrated against vulnerable populations. Well, I'll just finish this real quickly and I'll get into Ray. Thousands of Canadians have signed a petition calling on the government to strip Myanmar's state councillor, whatever his name, of honorary Canadian citizenship she was given back in 2007. Sukiya, also a Nobel laureate, was as disappointed supporters around the world for failing to side clearly with the Rohingya in their plight. The true power of Myanmar lies with the military, which retains control over key ministries such as home and border affairs. Well, we have a military here too, but they don't seem that god-awful interested in protecting our borders. But we're going to send somebody from Canada, Mr. Bob Ray, over there to see about, border affairs and whatnot. The long-lasting tension in Rakhine State escalated on August 25th when Rohingya militants attacked security forces, killing several. The military responded with overwhelming force and with the support of Buddhist nationalist mobs, whoops, there's that word, national, have burned down villages and killed an untold number of Rohingya. The UN's Human Rights Office now says the military's actions preceded the August 25th attack and were intended to drive Rohingya out for good. Though they've lived in Myanmar for generations, Rohingya Muslims are considered foreigners by the authorities and are not entitled to citizenship. They are denied basic rights to freedom of movement and education. My goodness. So that's what's going on over there. My understanding is these people showed up, weren't welcome, and been kind of stuffed off to the side here because they weren't welcome. And we are in Canada here, going to send Bob Ray over to fix things up. In other words, I guess, get some boats and planes and start shipping them in here. There's a video in here, and if you know what you're listening to, it's a story about what went down here. And I haven't got quite to the end of it. It's only 7 minutes long. You will see the setup by the United Nations of all the United Nations is doing is building camps for these people so it looks like they're being persecuted so that they can ship them to the West under human rights because their human rights are under threat. Well, you know, why don't you send your good old United Nations in there to undo the threat? Why don't you build them some housing there? Why don't you get them some decent situation there? But no, that'd be too damned easy. Why don't we just fly them on over to the West and let the West look after them? Now, the problem is the West is what supports the UN. The UN is set up for world domination. The UN is set up to end nation states and get rid of the Christian religion and get rid of the American Constitution. Now, the interesting thing about Bob Ray, and I've taken some serious hits on this in the past, but I'm a researcher, so I research it, then I tell it like it is. A lot of people don't like that. They don't want to do any research and they don't want to hear the truth. Well, tough titties. Now, Mr. Bob Ray, if you look in Wikipedia, there's one thing that's really absent here. If I can dig it out, I have to go back up a little bit. Where am I here? If I can dig it out. Anyways, his connection to the takedown and the privatization of our electricity system here took place way back when he was the premier of the province. And in 1992, he appointed his father-in-law, Morris Strong, who was the head of UNEP, United Nations Environmental Program. And we all know who Morris Strong is and his ties. And his job is the same as Rockefeller. These are internationalists. Or as Morris Strong said, I believe in capitalism for me and my friends and socialism for everyone else. Anyways, there's a piece in here. There's a one-liner in here somewhere in this mess. It's a one-line thing about Ontario Hydro, but there's no mention of Morris Strong. Now, Bob Ray's dad, Saul Ray, was a politician and a good friend of Morris Strong's. And but this is the real kicker here, because I've been saying for a long time that the Jews and the Muslims are working together to bring down the West. Now, Jews don't much care for Jesus, crucified the poor bugger. And the Muslims hate Christianity, as do the Jews. We're the goy, as far as the Jews are concerned. We are animals, as far as the Jews are concerned. And our job is to basically work for them. And we do, because we pay interest on everything. And that was the old money changers that kind of pissed Jesus off a little bit. But we didn't learn nothing, because we're just, according to the Jews, stupid animals, and we've acted like stupid animals for a very, very long time, and we got to get over it. Now, there's lots of stories out there about the Jews being persecuted by the Muslims, and the Jews want to kill all the Muslims, or the Muslims want to kill all the Jews. Really? Well, there ain't that damn many Jews on the planet. Now, if the Muslims were hell-bent on killing the Jews, well, I would be talking about Jews in the past tense tonight. But Bob Ray, Bob Keith Ray, is a Canadian lawyer. That's strike one against the guy. And a negotiator, public speaker, and former politician. He was a member of the Parliament of Toronto Centre and interim leader of the Liberal Party of Canada, 2011-2013. He was previously leader of the Ontario Democratic Party and the 21st Premier of Ontario from 1990 to 95. It was in 92 that he appointed his godfather, and that, you know, it should be Satan father, but it was his godfather, to the head of Ontario Hydro. Now, there's papers about Morris Strong and the internationalists eyeballing Ontario Hydro because it was the biggest public utility, electricity utility on the freaking planet, and they wanted it. They wanted to privatize it because him and his capitalist friends saw an opportunity. So anyways, Bob Ray, now he's a spokesman for the natives. So, oh, native people, please run the other direction from this clown. Now, Ray was born in Ottawa, Ontario's parents were Lois Esther George and Saul Ray, an eminent Canadian career diplomat with a posting in Washington, Geneva, New York, Mexico, and The Hague. Okay, so Daddy Saul was an internationalist. Daddy Saul was working to take down the West. Ray's paternal grandparents immigrated from Scotland. This sounds pretty good so far. And his mother had English ancestry. Ray was raised an Anglican. This is where it gets cool. As an adult, he found out that his paternal grandfather was Jewish and was from a family of Lithuanian immigrants to Scotland. Ray's brother, John A. Ray, is a vice president of Power Corporation. Now, Power Corporation is where Morris Strong used to work. Power Corporation is where many of our prime ministers came from. Power Corporation was basically run by Morris Strong, and all of our industry went to where? China, okay? So Power Corp is an ugly outfit. Saul, Ray's father, is an ugly guy. When I say ugly, I mean treasonous. So John's brother, vice president of Power Corp, Prime Minister Krajicek's daughter, is married to one of the sons of Power Corp. Let's see. Now, Ray's sister worked at IMAX and now retired. Now, as a result of a strong student record, Ray was awarded a Rhodes Scholarship to the University of Oxford, where he studied at Balliol College, Oxford, under Isaac Berlin. Now, I looked this up a long time ago when I was looking at Ray, and he went to that Balliol College, a part of Oxford University, and I found it rather amazing that the mascot for that particular college is a turtle. And I kind of wonder why we're getting all these turtle crossings everywhere. But the mascot for that particular school is a turtle. And I can't remember what her name is. It starts with an R, Rosenberg or something. Who the turtle was named after. It was a pretty high up there Marxist. And I don't have it in front of me right now, but I forgot the guy's name. Well, you can go to Oxford and find Balliol College. They're all listed there. It's B-A-L-L-I. I can't see that. B-A-L-L-I-O-L. Balliol College, and you will find some stuff there. You'll find out about the mascot. You'll find out about all that stuff. But the thing is, where did I find this? It turns out, where is that? Health on social policy. There's a whole bunch of stuff in here about everything that he was involved in. But what I'm looking for, where did that get to? The piece about his wife in here anywhere, where the heck that got to? It turns out he was an Anglican, and then, oh, here it is, here. Ray learned of his family's Jewish origins in 1968. Now, he was an Anglican, but he found out about his family's Jewish origins in 1968. The revelation had a strong impact on him. He sought to explore his Jewish culture, dated Jewish girls exclusively, and ultimately married a Jewish woman. Upon his marriage to Arlene Perley, Ray agreed to raise his children in his wife's Jewish faith. Ray is a member of the Holy Blossom Temple, a Reformed Jewish congregation in Toronto. So, Bob Ray is Jewish. Now, a lot of people didn't know that. And so, you know, I put a note, because I can't post right now because I'm in Facebook jail. Truth will get you there real quick. You can bellyache and bitch about stuff all you want, but damned if you should go and actually speak the truth, the real truth, what people need to know. People call names. That's what they do on Facebook as far as politicians. They just call politicians names, right? You got the right and the left, and that's all you got. But once you get deeper, it starts to rock the boat, so to speak. So I put a note in, and I expect to get hammered from it, but maybe people are starting to wake up. I put a note in a post that somebody put up about Ray going to Myanmar or wherever it is. I don't know where the hell that's at, nor do I care. Just keep them where they are. But if you watch the video, and I haven't put that in, I will. If you watch the video that's included in this and you can think at all, you will see that this is a complete UN setup. The UN was set up so that there was no wars, and if somebody got uppity, they would have forces, all the other countries, to step in and just say, stop that shit. But they've never done that. They've never done that because that's not the plan. The plan is to create chaos everywhere. I'm just trying to find where I stuck that. But I really expected to get more hit as far as people barking at me, but it didn't happen. I got some people agreeing with what I said, which is good, and I didn't have anybody that I'm aware of beating on me, which is good. If I can find this thing. You know, the longer I do these shows and the longer I've been at this, you know, it's starting to dawn me. And I'm sure this happens to other researchers too. I know a lot. But then I had the Attorney General's Office of Ontario say the same thing, that I'm a man with a great deal of knowledge, which is fine, but they make it difficult to get that knowledge out. You can't put it in the paper, and it's difficult even on the internet to get that information out. And that's unfortunate. That's just the way it is. So we have to keep doing our best to get the word out. Our job, the people that know, and I know a lot of people don't, you know, they get shy when they're trying to explain something to somebody, and they, oh, I don't want to hear about that. Well, maybe the easiest way is just to walk away from those people. But don't get discouraged. Because somebody doesn't want to hear what you got to say, doesn't mean everyone doesn't want to hear what you say. It's very important that you don't get bummed out about this. Okay, this is a war, and their job is to take us down. Our job is to make sure that doesn't happen. People are so nervous about what they say now. I got called a racist today, you know, which I thought was kind of comical. I went up to the reserve to get some smokes today. And Linda, who works there, who's just a really nice lady, you know, I said, maybe I'll just move up here to the reserve. And Paul, who was with me, goes, you know, that might not be a bad idea, that we just move on up to the reserve. And I said, you know, I think you people are be easier to get along with and discuss things with than these dumbass white people. And it kind of threw me because she's getting my smokes and she says, that's racist. I said, how the hell can that be racist? I'm white. She said, still racist, right? And I said, holy crap. You know, I can't even knock my own people. Here it is here. It was right at the top. And this is all I wrote. And I really expected people, because most people do not know that Bob Ray is a Jew. You know, Bob Ray, that's not a Jewish name. And all I wrote, and I got quite a few likes on this, and somebody said, bang on. So it's Bob Ray, the ex-leader of the NDP, the ex-premier of Ontario, ran for leadership of the Liberal Party, is the godson of Maurice Strong. His father, Saul, was an internationalist. And all I wrote was, a Jew going to save the Muslims. Brilliant. Just proves one more time they are working together to bring down the West. And that is absolutely the facts. Now, I thought it kind of interesting. I was really having a difficult time. I'm still having a difficult time. I spent an hour or so checking out Bob Ray's wife, but I can't come up with her history. I can't come up with her family. It's like a lot of this stuff is hush-hush kind of thing. So, and she's a member of Global Literacy or something. So I have here about Arlene Pearly Ray, and this is in Spelling Bee of Canada, I found this. So she's an author, a journalist, a freelance writer, co-chair of the YMCA, Elm Center Campaign, director of music, 2010 Olympics dignitary assistant, keynote speaker, MC host and panelist, former coordinating judge of the Commonwealth Book Prize. She's big in the book business. And that brought up a thought to me, that little fable of the ducks and the hens, written by Rockwell. Can't remember, I don't know, his first name is George or whatever. But do watch that. If you've never seen it, watch it, because it's a condensed history from our forefathers till today. It actually takes you all the way through to the transgender, if you understand what you're watching. It starts out with the invasion and of these people that are not us, and how they took over the media and the education system and the politics, and it ends really with the ducks restarting their life in a new land. Which is what our forefathers did, And then we allowed this creep to happen to us, to where we are in the position we are today. Anyways, this woman, Arlene Pearly Ray, recent speeches include how literacy could change the world, combating Islamophobia. So this is a Jew giving a talk about combating Islamophobia. I thought the Muslims hated the Jews, but here we have the Jews, or at least this particular Jew, giving a talk on combating Islamophobia. These are all these people that work in the background, okay? And I can't say it enough. The politicians are the window dressing when you walk down the street. Just like the mafioso used to have storefronts. And they might be a butcher shop or a bakery or a dry cleaners or whatever. But that's the front. You want to know what's going on, you got to go in the back. And the only freaking way anybody's ever going to know what's going on is to go in the back. And the only way you're going to get in the back is do a little research. Because staring at the TV and picking up newspapers, that's the window dressing. The parliaments, the legislatures, the senates, they're all window dressing. And the media explains to you the window dressing. So-and-so said so-and-so, and so-and-so stood up and was not angry, and then the Speaker of the House asked them all to shut. All noise and all window dressing, and it doesn't matter. It's the play. Okay? And you, the audience, just keep getting sucked in by this nonsense. You got to go in the back and find out who's financing the play, who's writing the scripts, who's hiring the actors, where the actors are coming from, and so on and so forth. Otherwise, you're just going to wander around like an ignorant piece of meat, belly aching about what you read in the paper today or what you saw on the TV today. You're making it too easy for these guys to take you down. You know, what in that fable of the ducks and the hens, right? Look it up. You know, same as Rothschild, when he sent his sons over to America, the first thing you do there, first damn thing you do, before you do anything else, get control of the top 25 newspapers in the country. Because then you carry the message. Now, I listened to a speech of Rockwell from the 60s before they shot him dead. He was talking about the influence of the Jews. And this guy really understood what the hell was going on in his country. And he wasn't some, you know, flake. I mean, he was a commander in the Air Force or whatever. But he got this stuff. Now, he was talking about the Jews having control over books. I can't remember. He talked at different colleges and universities, and I don't remember exactly which video it was, but I imagine I watched another one partially, and his speech is pretty much identical. So if you just go and look up Rockwell's speech, you'll get it. But he was talking specifically about the Jews controlling the books. And that's absolutely correct. You're only given what they want you to read. The education system, which is controlled, you're only taught what they want you to know. The media, you only read and hear what they want you to read and hear, which makes us an extremely ignorant population in the West. Now, lots of people read lots of books, and they read lots of stuff and that, but they don't understand that this is what's being spoon-fed to them. The real story is behind. The real story is in the book you don't see. Okay, because those books ain't getting no airtime. So you have this mass of people who have no real knowledge about anything, just what they've been fed. And she, I forget what all companies she's involved in on boards and that, as far as books and that are concerned. She is very involved. Where is that? Where did I see that? It says here she was the national vice president of the Canadian Jewish Congress. Now, the Canadian Jewish Congress hooked up with the Muslims to see what they could do together. But hey, who am I? The Muslims want to kill all the Jews. Mm-hmm. Now, the World Literacy World Literacy Canada, of which she's involved in, it says here, why Canada? And this is very telling. And but mostly they're doing most of their work over in India for some oddball reason. But World Literacy, this is what it says. World Literacy believes it is important to promote literacy and foster a culture. Now, this is Bob Ray's wife's hooked up with this stuff. A culture of what? Global citizenship among Canadians. Because in an increasingly interconnected world, many problems like poverty and the inability for millions of people to read are global issues. Responding to these problems thus requires global action. Now, this goes back to the 50 Cent hearings with Warburg, say they need mechanisms that can only be solved at the global level. And this is another one of those mechanisms. The Muslim problem's a mechanism, the literacy problem's a mechanism, the poverty problem's a mechanism, the climate change problem's a mechanism. These are all mechanisms to pull at your heartstrings. And some of them fear you, and some of them pull at your heartstrings, but it's just the good old Marxist takedown. Okay? You can't come in the West and do what they did to Russia. You can't wander in there and kill 20 million or however many people you killed. So, like Warburg said, look it up, Warburg, 1950 Senate hearings. You'll get an eyeful if you understand what the hell it is you're looking at. Because he said we will have world government by consent or by conquest, and they are getting us to consent because we remain silent because we're afraid to say anything. That's a pretty sad, whimpering demise of the West. And we better pick it up. Anyways, this goes on that we believe that global citizens, keep global citizens, are ready for a world of opportunities and capable of being inquirers, thinkers, communicators, risk takers, while being open-minded, reflective, and caring, and characteristic of change the world needs to tackle the world's most pressing issues. More than ever, we live in an interconnected and interdependent world. Now, that guy's name escapes me right at the minute. But he wrote a book on the interconnected world. A great friend of Morris Strong's. Hang out at the IISD. And if you're a Canadian, please just Google IISD. It's the International Institute for Sustainable Development. That's right. The International Institute for Sustainable Development can be found where? In Geneva? No. Berlin? No. New York? No. Winnipeg, Manitoba, Canada. And where did Maurice Strong come from? As a child, Manitoba. What goes around comes around. And his buddy, he was involved in the writing of the Grobrundtland Report, Our Common Future. And the main writers of that thing were David Rockefeller, Maurice Strong, and the guy that came up with interconnected and interdependent. Literacy as empowerment can teach us to be aware of the wider world, to respect and value what? Diversity. Got to have diversity in there. Understand how the world works economically, politically, socially, culturally, technologically, and environmentally, and engage us to contribute to the local and global community. As a nation, Canada has upheld a reputation for respecting global citizenship. This hard-earned reputation needs to be maintained and nurtured. In addition to our own programming in Canada, right? Our own programming in Canada, you've been programmed, people. Get with the picture here. WLC, the World Literacy Council, is it? World Literacy, where is that? WCL, World Literacy Canada. Join forces with the Canadian Council for International Cooperation in advocating a common social justice agenda. We understand that what happens there is closely linked to what happens here at home. Now, what I just read you could be lifted off any number of UN pages. They talk about literacy here. This is literacy. This is a regurgitation of UN doctrine. And this is coming out of Literacy Canada. So you know what's being put into the books. You know what's being put into the school books. This is propaganda on freaking steroids. And, of course, I don't want to say too much, but maybe the Jews are involved. Like, totally. So the Canadian Council for International Cooperation is kind of a pretty interesting site that you need to look at. The Canadian Council for International Cooperation, established in 1968, that would be the Pierre Trudeau, Maurice Strong era, excuse me, CCIC monitors and analyzes federal policies on foreign affairs, aid, trade, debt, and defense, and communicates its findings to members and the public. Mostly to members, very seldom the public. So there's, a lot of stuff in here that you're not going to see on the news ever. And I ran into, I don't remember what it was, I ran into Bob Ray's wife in here somewhere. did you know it's February 17th is International Development Week? Anyways, I don't know if it's still open here or not. I've had so many of these things open tracking this nonsense. What do we got here? I'll have to do that on a different show. When I'm tracking this stuff, I get so much open. There's another outfit I never heard of, Canada's Eco-Fiscal Commission. Policies, the commission focuses on three major policy streams: climate, energy, water, and livable cities. Areas of research and policy include carbon price, energy subsidies, water pricing, municipal user fees, congestion pricing, landfill and solid waste pricings. These are the people who are putting the screws on you. Now, all these people are listed here. Paul Martin, who was a past prime minister, Preston Manning, who had started up the the Reform Party, which turned into the New Progressive Conservative Party, is in here. Let's see who else we got in here. But all these people, Michael Harcourt, all of these people in here, Jean Charest, who was the Liberal leader of Quebec, Gordon Campbell, who, let me think, was the premier of British Columbia. Okay, let me try this a different way here. I went and blew us off the air. So this is what I'm telling people is, think mafia, think the back room. Go to the back room. Because what people don't understand, they think when these politicians leave office, they just go and play golf or knit. Now what happens? Okay? These politicians sold their souls. I'm talking about the top guys. That's how they ended up in the top positions. And they never quit working. Okay? These are the guys that are really dangerous. Because they're doing the work in the back room. You're watching the show in the window. But the real work's going on in the back room. Christopher, how you doing?
Hey, my friend.
Oh,
You didn't mention what I sent you.
I didn't know what you sent me. What'd you send me?
The MPs review rules that reject immigrants.
Oh, I did read that.
Yeah.
Okay. How much time we got here? We got 10 minutes, maybe. I want to read this to you before I go there. This is brilliant. Are most Arab Americans Christian? This is Detroit News, March 203. Recently reported on new ethnic sensitivity training courses for Michigan Police Department, Arab American communities. As part of the training, one counselor reminds officers that most Arab stereotypes have no grounding in fact. As an example, the counselor says few people realize that most Arab Americans are not Muslims. In fact, the new news reports 75% of Arab Americans are in fact Christian. Does it make sense the promotion or the percentage is that high, according to Roy, whatever, director of Department of Ministries to Muslims at Wheaton College? It does make sense to him. There always been a high percentage of Christians among the Arabs, U.S. citizens. Christianity today, that's where this is. The majority of them come here, get this. The majority of these Arabs come here because they were minorities in their native countries. Much of the reason they leave is the hard life under Islam, but recently there has been a mass exodus due to renewed nationalism and Islamic resurgence. Okay, so why did these so-called Arab Christians leave their homelands to get the hell away from the persecution of Islam? Oops. Then the question is, if they don't like Christians and they're persecuting Christians in their own countries, and those people left those countries to get the hell away from the persecution, then why the hell are we bringing in Islamic Muslims? The guy said that since the late 90s, more attention in several Arab nations on their Islamic identity has placed additional pressure on Christians in those countries. This has led so far greater numbers of Arab Christians immigrating to the U.S. Anyone not Muslim, okay? Anyone not Muslim is the focus of a lot of negative attention in many of these countries, he said. They are not able to live out their lives as they did in the past, and minorities are persecuted. You also see Muslim-on-Muslim violence where Christians get caught up in the middle. Eventually, they chose to leave these situations. The trend has given the U.S. a high percentage of Arab Christians. But that's not what we're importing. We're importing Islamic Muslims. Now, these people that already lived in those countries vacated the place to get away from this shit, and here we are importing them and sending Mr. Bob the Jew Ray over here where the UN and the boys have 600,000 of these people waiting to go somewhere. Oops. Now, just to go, where did I put that piece? My favorite, and you were right, best part of that piece that you sent me, Chris, was, I got to go look it up again. Have you got it in front of you?
Well, I have. It's the second last paragraph talks about bringing in pedophiles as a sickness. We're trying to cure their sicknesses, and we're bringing in pedophiles and
HIV.
Yeah, all
tuberculosis.
All the worst of the worst. We're bringing in because we're a loving country, and we want to take care of pedophiles. And
yeah, so they're gonna loosen the restrictions.
Oh, psychopaths! Psychopaths is another one.
Was it psychopaths in there as well?
Psychopaths and pedophiles, because it's an illness, and we gotta help them with their illness.
Here's the story. This is absolutely ludicrous. They want to loosen up the restrictions on immigrants because they said they were turning immigrants back who had all these problems, because it would be a drain on the system to bring all these people in. But according to human rights, well, we got to loosen it up. And it's more than just money and economics, she said. It's a political decision, and that's why we elect officials. But I could really ask them to look at what these people bring to us beyond a healthcare problem. What does the entire family bring? NDP immigrant critic Jenny Kwan, doesn't sound European, said the system forces people with disabilities to go through a separated and segregated medical review. To me, this is textbook case of discrimination, says Kwan, asking what disability could potentially deem a family inadmissible. An official confirmed that a family could be rejected if there was a child who is deaf or blind. But that's the heartstring thing again. Identified public health and safety issues range from active pulmonary tuberculosis, untreated syphilis, mental health issues such as pedophilia, sociopathic, behavior disorders or paranoid states or substance abuse that can lead to violent, hostile, or disruptive behavior. But hey, we don't want to deal with that. We want to ignore that. Everybody's welcome. Immigration Department official Don Ellen said the department is working on a review of guidelines with the goal of ensuring the current policies strike the right balance between protecting the integrity of publicly funded service and ensuring the immigration system is fair and compassionate. So basically, it's wide open. So anything that you don't want in your country is going to end up in your country. Ain't we lucky, Christopher?
We're pretty fortunate.
Well, yeah, because, you know, if we can have, you know, behavioral disorders, paranoid states, sociopaths, psychopaths, pedophiles, mental health issues, untreated syphilis, tuberculosis, AIDS, hell, bring it on in.
Yeah.
You know,
I thought that tuberculosis thing was eradicated through vaccinations. Maybe a mistake.
Well, don't bring up that anti-vax shit, man. I can't deal with that.
Oh, yeah, right. Another show.
Vaccines are good for you. Don't forget, your children can get 72 needles by the time they get out of school. Don't mess it up. Make sure they get all their needles. I mean, come on. Tuberculosis, they want to bring the sickness in here. And the whole plan here, realistically, is to crush us financially. Right? The idea is to bankrupt us. I see they're upping, they want to up the child care, child benefits. Now, they didn't do that before the immigrants started coming. It was a real battle on child benefits. But now that you got people coming in who want to take over the country and breed like bunny rabbits, they're going to up the child benefits.
Yeah, so I caught that play, too. I thought that was...
Yes, so you can have 8 kids sit on your ass, and, you know, it's like, what is it, $500 and some a month. But you got 8 kids, that's $5,000 a month almost, just on 8 kids. Who the hell's got to go to work? You know, works out good for them, bad for us. And that ain't being racist. So I'm going to plug some of this stuff in after the show, which is going to end pretty quick. And I got a lot of research to do on some of this stuff before Thursday. But, all I can do is encourage people to go look in the back room, you know, quit looking at the window dressing, right? Go in the back room. You read something, you see a name you don't recognize in the story, search it out. Find out who they're attached to, okay? Then you get an idea what's going on in your country. And we got a new ambassador, Chris. Did you see this blonde out of Kentucky? I'm going to talk about that maybe Thursday night.
She's hot. I like her hair.
She just can't keep saying Mexico, Canada, United States enough, which is the North American Union. That we can't do, we all have to do this together, and that is the North American Union. And one of the plans was to open the border down in Mexico, so that it's about erasing borders, so that they got clear shot all the way to Mexico. I hear music. So everybody have a great night. Thank you.
Selling lies and buying time, killing people, mixing live, lower classes, social slime, they don't matter, genocide, sick from water, sick from air, making money, they don't care, censorship, force of air, fuck